Good morning. We gather in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we celebrate Black History Month and give voice to Black brilliance. In the readings, the question is asked, who are the blessed ones of God? For Micah, they are those who do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. For Paul, they are the ones who find wisdom in the weakness of the cross. And for Jesus, they are the poor, the meek, and merciful, the pure of heart, the peacemakers, those who mourn and those who hunger for righteousness. Our gathering hymn this morning is 819. Come, all you people, we'll rise to sing. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Glory to God. You'll find that on page 213 at the beginning of your hymnal.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Holy God, you confound the world's wisdom in giving your kingdom to the lowly and the pure in heart. Give us such a hunger and thirst for justice and perseverance in striving for peace, that in our words and deeds the world may see the life of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated. I'll invite the children up. Why don't you just come and sit right here in the front pew, okay? Hi, nice to see you. So we're celebrating Black History Sunday, and we started that maybe a few years ago to give voice to some of the our Black brothers and sisters, their struggles and their joys. And I have some people in Canadian history, and I bet some of them you've heard of. Maybe you've seen their pictures. Anyone, do you want to help me read, James? No, it's fine. So this is Chloe Cooley. And this is a stamp. A stamp was made after her. Chloe Cooley lived in Upper Canada. Now, a long time ago, Upper Canada, it's now Ontario, but we don't call it Upper Canada anymore. So that was over 200 years ago. So she's the farthest back. And she was an enslaved Black woman who wanted freedom. One day when she was being forced across the Niagara River to be sold, Chloe resisted and cried out loudly. People heard her screams, and her bravery helped leaders realize how wrong slavery was. Soon after, a law was passed, the Act Against Slavery, to stop enslaved people from being brought into Upper Canada. So Chloe's courage helped start change. And even when she was scared, her voice mattered. Chloe reminds us that speaking up, even once, can help make the world more just. Now here's a picture a little more recently. And this is Oscar Peterson. And he was a young boy in Montreal who loved music. When he was sick as a child, his family encouraged him to practice piano. Oscar worked very hard, even when it was difficult. Soon his fingers seemed to dance across the keys. And as he grew up, Oscar became one of the greatest jazz pianists in the world. He played music that made people feel joy, sadness even, and hope. And he showed that practice and patience and believing in yourself can turn a small boy's love for music into something that inspires people everywhere. Now I have another musician. Here's a picture of Portia White. And she grew up in Nova Scotia, so on the east side of Canada, and she loved to sing. Her voice was deep and rich and powerful. But at first, do you know what people said to her? She said that Black women couldn't, a Black woman couldn't be a famous singer, but she kept on going. She practiced and she performed and she shared her gift. And soon people around the world started to listen. And she was Canada's first internationally famous concert singer. She showed us that talent belongs to everyone, and that your voice, whether spoken or sung, deserves to be heard. Just a few more. Recognize this woman? Yeah. She's on the $10 bill, Viola Desmond. And she loved helping people feel confident and beautiful. She ran a beauty school and a business in Nova Scotia. One day in 1946, Viola went to a movie theater and sat on the main floor. And she was told to move because she was Black, but she said no. She was arrested and she was fined and she was treated unfairly, but she did not give up. Her brave choice helped Canada talk about racism and fairness. And many years later, people thanked Viola for her courage. And now she has her face on a $10 bill. Last one, These are some children, and they're picking blueberries in Africville, which is out east as well. And it was a small black community where people and families lived and played, and they cared for each other. And the children ran along the shores, and they went to church, and they knew their neighbors. And one child described it as a safe place where they felt loved. Unfortunately, the community was later taken away, but the people did not forget who they were. Today, Africville is remembered as a place of strength, family, and pride. So these are some stories of black brilliance, and they are many more. Okay. We have a crab over here. Sorry about that. It's acting up. I'm moving too much. It doesn't like movement today. The kids are going to do a craft, but there's this wonderful illustration that you see on the front of your guides to worship. And I think art and coloring is for children and adults. So if any adults want to come over and do some intergenerational coloring with the children over here, please free yourself and do so. Okay, thanks. You can go over with Pastor Sebastian. He'll lead you in a craft. Thank you. Thanks. I'd like to welcome now Pastors Ann and Oloa Coyote. I'm sorry. They're going to share greetings from Christ Lifter International Church, who worships in the chapel. What time do you start worship at? 10, so very soon. So they're so kind to lend their time. Thank you so much for being willing to come and share a few words. And then they're going to have to go and prepare for their worship. Just come and you can use this microphone here. Hi. Thanks so much.
Good morning, everyone. Yeah, it's a joy in our hearts that we are here this morning. And I, myself, Pastor Oluwa Coyote, and my beautiful wife.
Pastor Han?
Yeah. We are happy to be here this morning to worship with the congregation of God. And I pray that in the name of Jesus, we do more in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, dear friends of St. Matthew Lutheran Church. I am honored to stand with you today on behalf of Christ Lifter International Church. Thank you for welcoming us into this worship service during this Black History Month. We are grateful for your invitation and warm hospitality. It is a blessing to gather together as one body in Christ to praise the Lord and to encourage one another. Black History Month is a profound opportunity to honor the rich faith heritage and resilience of the African American community and African Canadian community. As one writer has noted, this month offers a unique opportunity for Christians to engage, number one, to celebrate and to learn from the history and contribute to the African-Canadian community, depending on our understanding of God's love, which is diverse in understanding. And then in Christ, we are truly one. As Apostle Paul declares, there is neither Jews or Greek, for we are all one in Christ. We rejoice with our faith. There is no one body or one spirit, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all in all we worship. Jesus himself prayed that all may be one, just as you are with us. The Bible told us, he made us to understand that the Father himself, he wants us to live in unity. When you look at the book of Psalm 133, verse 1, reading downwards, he made us to understand what unity is all about. And as a child of God, we are expected to fellowship in unity. And that is the essence of our Black History Month that we are celebrating today. Today and celebrating this month. Yeah, this unity calls us to love and justice for one another. God has shown us what is good, to act justly and to love and to have mercy and to walk humbly with the people of God. Not just in the words, but in deeds. So if we say that we love one another, we should show it, we should carry it out, people should see it by our actions. You know, and then the word Christian was actually used for the first time in Antioch because they saw the life of Christ in the disciples. That's an understanding of which we should have. As I bring it to a close, celebrating Black History Month together enrich our faith and strengthens our fellowship. It reminds us that we stand together in Christ, we stand together in one love, we stand together in the house of God to shape our purpose and to reshape our purpose. St. Matthew Lutheran Church is a joy to see that we are here and to thank God for the support that has helped the church in time past. And I pray that as we forge ahead, the Lord will strengthen his church in the name of Jesus. Amen. In closing, let us hold fast to the hope that we have in Christ. May his spirit keep us united and full of joy. As Jesus prayed, may his church be one so that we and the world may see the love that is from our heart. Each person here is a precious, each person here is precious in God's sight, and together we are empowered by his love to do great things. Thank you for the time that we have spent together, and may the God bless as we share the word of God throughout the nations in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Okay. Take care. Thank you so much.
The first reading is from the prophet Micah, chapter 6. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the case of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a case against his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? And what have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery. And I sent you before Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised, what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good? And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. We will now sing hymn 529, Jesus, We Are Gathered, hymn 529. The second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scholar? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since, in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided, through the foolishness of the proclamation, to save those who believe. For Jews ask for signs and Greeks desire wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to abolish things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. In contrast, God is why you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the gospel acclamation. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. During the children's message, a few vignettes were shared about Black Canadians. If we look at Black local history in the Waterloo region, the name Levi Carroll might be familiar. If you have seen the first schoolhouse, now located in Waterloo Park, you have seen Levi's home of approximately 50 years. In 1942, the school outgrew the building, and it was dismantled and relocated to Berlin near KCI, where Levi and his family lived. Levi was an ex-slave from Maryland and born around 1804. In his obituary, he is described as a citizen whom almost everyone knows. Author and social historian Joanna Rickard Hall writes about Levi, seeking to tell stories of marginalized in our community, and she describes it as work to resurrect lost or otherwise forgotten local narratives, such as carols. Levi's owner had sold some of his family, and by 1842, Levi got a chance to escape his situation. Initially, Levi settled in the Queen's Bush settlement, where more than 1,500 free and formerly enslaved people pioneered farms beginning around 1820. Later, the Queen's Bush settlement was taken away and sold, and many who lived there couldn't afford to buy the land. There's documentation that in 1845, Levi worked for a local Mennonite farmer, Abraham Weber, trying to build a life in a new country. He earned money and he paid rent. And there's one note that Joanna Rickard Hall says that Levi was upset about the exorbitant amount of rent, and then it was $5 a month. He was a shingle maker, a gardener, and later on he injured his leg working and it needed to be amputated, and so he needed to go what was called the poorhouse. Rickard Hall suggests that Levi's contribution to the community extend well beyond this community. A descendant of his went on to become the first Black woman ordained in the United Church of Canada, Addie Aylstock. So what does a story of a person in the 18th century or in the 19th century have to do with today? Some of Micah's call to do justice might be to give voice to the unspoken narratives of marginalized people such as Levi. Today, racialized minorities make up, I think it's about 24% of the population, and about 5% are Black residents, and I think around 10% are East Asian. If we look at Micah, and we mention Micah, it's very likely that the words of Micah 6:8 will come to mind for many. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. Most would interpret this verse in relation to our neighbor. And this is certainly a mark of the justice-oriented anti-oppression ministry Jesus spread. It's certainly one of the most often quoted verses, and for good reason. Micah is considered a minor prophet of the Old Testament, only because of the length of the book. It's only a brief 7 chapters, a small but mighty book that moves from a message of judgment to hope. It was likely around the time of the 8th century BCA, the same time as Amos or Hosea or Isaiah. And there's a hope in it that all will dwell in peace, and pointing towards the promised Messiah. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. How do we live out this call? Sundays and Seasons writes, we often think God is most pleased with huge events and activities, when often small acts of justice and kindness can show others what a humble walk with God is. And for Micah, what honors God might have less to do with these big showy offerings and moments, and more to do with the smaller moments of listening, followed by action. Being in tune with our own needs for wholeness helps us to engage our neighbor's need for wholeness, and in turn, creation's need for healing and wholeness. We might do well to consider, in what small and simple ways is God calling our congregation to act with justice and kindness in our surrounding community? So, the one side of Micah's encouragement has to do with acting. Sometimes doing justice requires speaking loudly, stopping unjust behavior, calling into question comments that harm another person, such as stereotypes or prejudice or racism. Sometimes justice means blowing a whistle, as we hear, or standing with the bullied, standing with the bullied. The peaceful protesters in Minneapolis offer solidarity to each other in a concerning situation. Sometimes a voice of justice needs to be loud, and other times the impact is made known through song and prayer and resistance. Now, it seems like a long time ago now, and it is like nearly a decade, but when I served at Toronto, Redeemer in Toronto on Bloor Street, it was very common for people to mobilize in peaceful protests and to rally around a cause. A large, you know, millions of people in an area might lend itself more to that. It does happen in KW too. There's some in Uptown Waterloo this past week. I know some of you have joined the Walk for Orange Shirts. And here it's back on. And there are different ones that happen locally as well too. But a story I remember in an experience at Redeemer was when there were mosque attacks in Quebec. And many from the church attended a community vigil at the mosque. Faith leaders, including myself, were invited to share, and I was asked to pray, and so I did. CTV News was present, and it ended up being covered. And I'm not a person who has any desire to be on the news. That is a little far too exposed for me. But I put that fear aside that I might say the wrong thing or look like a complete fool to stand with the people who experienced unnecessary trauma and targeting. Sometimes we are called to act and speak up and stand with. And as Lutherans, I think we're a little uncomfortable with the idea of joining a peaceful protest. However, I do think this is changing. So, the one side of Micah encourages us to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God is this, that the act of the visible, the seen, the heard, the mobilizing part. The other side to Micah's encouragement, I think, has to do with pausing. This week, a few of us attended a virtual webinar about discernment through Conrad Grebel. And with this lens of discernment, I'd suggest this passage also invites us to pause, to slow down, to ask deeper questions of ourselves and our community, and to listen deeply to what pulls on people's heartstrings, the pains, the joys, the injustices of life. And the pause is the prayerful listening with the purpose of discerning where we can contribute individually and collectively toward a more just and kind world. Together with God's help and leading, we build a more just and kind world. God builds a peaceful dwelling where grace lives and all are truly welcome, even as injustice knocks at the door. In this peaceful dwelling where grace mediates, there is a table. And this table is a place where all can gather and all sit there with equality and dignity. In a minute, we're going to sing a hymn of the day. It's not a new hymn, but it might be new to us. It's in all creation sings, and it's called the Welcome Table. It's a spiritual that originates from enslaved Black Americans. And during the 1960s, this song was adapted and sung by protesters at white-only lunch counters to voice the unjust practice of desegregation. It expresses a longing for inclusion and equality, and it symbolizes the future heavenly table where there will be a feast and all will sit with dignity and equality. I invite you now to find this hymn on page 4 in your guide to worship. It's called Welcome Table, and we will rise to sing it. As God's beloved children united in Christ, let us pray for the church, the whole human community, and the well-being of the earth, our home. God, our wisdom, renew the church in the power of the Spirit, that it may do justice, love kindness, live humbly, and boldly proclaim Christ crucified. We pray for social justice and an end to racism. Merciful God, receive our prayer. God, our source, we honor you by caring wisely for your creation. We pray for the health of old growth forests, ice caps, and ocean currents. Preserve the diversity of life on earth. Merciful God, receive our prayer. God of righteousness, Raise up visionary leaders who serve with integrity and respect human rights. Increase freedom in every nation. Protect educators, journalists, artists, and religious activities who are reviled for speaking the truth. Merciful God, receive our prayer. God, our advocate, you give hope to all who suffer because of persecution, poverty, or war. Reunite separated families and bring children to safety. Comfort any who grieve or suffer in any way, especially Marjorie, Kevin, Betty Ann, Annika, Judy, Yvonne, Jeanette, Megan, Henry, Maureen, and John. Merciful God, receive our prayer. God, our blessing, we pray for the children and youth of this congregation, and for parents and grandparents, mentors, teachers, and all who model love for their neighbor and care for others. Merciful God, receive our prayer. God of joy, we give thanks for the lives of those before us who journeyed humbly with you. Merciful God, receive our prayer. Confident that the Holy Spirit receives our prayers and answers us, we commend all for whom we pray to God's loving kindness made known to us in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let's share God's peace with each other. Our offering hymn is in the guide on page 5. It's very easy to miss. It's word only, and it's at the very top of the page. Thank you. Let us pray. O God of justice and love, we give thanks to you that you illumine our way through life with the words of your Son. Give us the light we need, awaken us to the needs of others, and at the end, bring all the world to your feast, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. Just a few announcements. We have a Valentine's dinner and games night on February 13th. If you want to come and join us, please let the office know or let me know. Shrove Tuesday dinner is coming up as well. We go forth with God's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. We rise for our sending hymn, This Little Light of Mine, 677. Awesome, thanks. Go forth into the world to serve God with gladness. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God.